especially for companies that might deal with advertising, excuse me, architectural firms and others who may need a small number of copies but may not have the money to invest in the really, 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 really good ones. So if you're working with construction and others, that's good. If you are working in the packaging business, that can be extremely helpful. And then I'm trying to see what happens with the cost per unit, because you might be in a very, very good position to have short-run giveaway and promotional items coming out of it. Amazon has gotten into the business, of course, and if you search on Amazon.com, you can order loads and loads of promotional items from them. They're expensive. I would not suggest that printers get involved with it necessarily now. I would suggest that they buy some cheap units and play with them and start to figure out what they can do with it eventually. But they definitely have to know about it. There are experiments going on with UPS store locations and others, and some of them have gotten a good business with people who restore vintage cars with certain non-critical pieces, you know, like certain ornamental things and all that. If they have the plans, they can just print something out on the 3D printer rather than hunting for it through junkyards and other places. So it's we don't know all the applications yet. The most stunning application of 3D printing is something printers will not get involved in, I doubt they will, are the things being done with it for surgery on infants, especially heart surgery, where through all their imaging, they're pulling all the images together and actually creating that child's heart based on the images, so they can look at it before they actually go in and start cutting. So it's really, really stunning stuff. I don't know if that answers your question or not, but
one of the interesting things that, as I've been looking into that, is that that industry, as it's emerging, they're not even thinking about color. So when we start thinking about some of the things that might be created with 3D printing right now, you know, they're not so concerned about brand colors and stuff, but we have so much color expertise, and they're going to need that, because eventually, you know, they're going to have to address it, and they're not addressing it yet. So that's another aspect.
Carrie, you're supposed to whisper your answer to me so I can say it. So, Dr. Jones.
Joe, how do you see the vendors on the floor upstairs and all evolving in the next few years in response to the things that you're forecasting?
Well, I walked through the Heidelberg booth yesterday. And then I went to the Acro booth, and then I went to... I had the opportunity to see the show floor from the show director's office, and when you're looking down on that and you don't see some of those companies, it's really, you start to really see it from that perspective, how much has changed. One thing I've been surprised at is the emphasis on mailing equipment and those other kinds of back-end operations. The mail is unfortunately still with us, or the USPS is unfortunately still with us. And the only way that companies and mailers can get any kind of productivity out of the process is to automate more and more and more. I don't know how much longer that plays out, but that area just used to be all the way in the back, and no one would go to those booths. And now they're up front, and those booths are really, really busy. Wide format, of course, and formatting on all kinds of substrates and all physical items. That's obviously getting a lot more attention. I don't know if we'll really see many more. We may never see a press on the show floor again. And that transition for the vendors to supporting existing equipment in the field rather than selling stuff is rather traumatic, and they're going through that trauma right now. What other categories? I'm trying to think. We never see the software companies here. Workflow excluded, of course. It's hard to demonstrate workflow. That's one of the problems. with that. But it's clearly a much, much different show. And we'll keep getting that way. The educational component of the show is going to take on much, much greater prominence and the importance of that. But it's the tenor of the show is going to be less technology and more what to do with technology and how to create businesses around it. I'm starting to see a lot more of that, especially with some of the wide format folks. Does that answer you, Dennis? Yeah. That is one of my favorite executives from the graphic arts industry, whom I know. First met you in 1981.
Yeah,
that's about
right.
Yeah.
maybe a couple of years.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So the shipping industry's poised to change quite a bit in the next year or so with FedEx and UPS looking at dimensional. And I'm just wondering which, dimensional and on top of their weight and distance pricing. I'm just wondering what you thought that was going to do to the postal service and which is more related to the print industry.
Well, FedEx and UPS are very, very lucky because their prices were abnormally high because they always made sure that the postal service gave them a floor, basically. Many small customers have already experienced the dimensional charges. If you go to a UPS store, you would always get a dimensional charge and not necessarily if you were shipping direct. I find it interesting. I don't know if it will last. The cost of shipping could turn out to be a serious problem, just ask the USPS. In terms of manufactured goods and packaging and stuff, you're going to see people reconfigure those kinds of things. So if you're a package designer or a product designer, you're going to be asked to reconfigure a lot of old products to conform with some of the things that they're looking for. They're obviously looking for efficiency in their trucks and the like. I'm not certain how it'll play out, but I know that people will be able to adjust to it. What's your concern about it? That the extra fees are just going
to
prohibit?
I'm concerned people having to redesign boxes by a quarter of an inch because it just pushes it into the price category.
Yeah, and then you
make them redesign their entire process.
Right, because then you have to redesign what goes in the box.
Right.
Yeah. So we're in for at least 2 years of that. Yeah.
Sure. You give your print shipment values in cost. The person, which obviously is a very valuable way of looking at it. The figures I've seen on the number of pages printed for years has been decreasing year on year, but with the transition from offset, from euro, etc., to digital, presumably that means shorter run lengths. Do you have any figures on the number of different pages that are being printed?
Okay. No, I don't. But I'm involved with a survey right now where we ask the question about change in revenues and change in number of jobs, which is an indication of that. Number of jobs are going up more than revenues are, which means that we're in the that's part of the offset digital shift. All right. Where a lot of commercial printers really like that $10,000 invoice for that offset job, and now all of a sudden they get into digital printing, and the jobs are $2,500, $3,000, or less. So they have to replace that revenue by getting more jobs. That seems to be what's happening in the business. Those jobs also have lower page counts, in addition to lower run lengths, because you can send more people into digital formats to get the information. So that's where that challenge is. But in terms of the shorter run lengths, the average run lengths have been decreasing for over 30 years, but at the same time we had, like in the 80s when that happened, you had more and more processed color, so you had shorter run lengths, but increased billables for that particular job. Now you're just getting shorter run lengths and everything's in color. So a lot of the decrease in print demand is not necessarily a decrease in jobs, is that the nature of those jobs have changed, and the frequency of repeating those jobs has definitely changed. So what? Yes, you're correct in terms of the shorter run lights. That's going to be common, and we'll keep going. Yeah.
Any additional questions?
Any additional answers?
May not be the right one, but...
Yes, we have another question here. He's going to double dip here.
Yeah. So, in the past, you've always had slides up on employment in the print industry.
Yes.
And wages and things like that. I didn't see it this time. Do you have any comments on that?
Sure do. Employment is still decreasing. It's down around 1.8%. The graphic design employment is still increasing by around 2%. And that doesn't include freelancers, which seems to be growing, more than that. Advertising employment is growing a little over 1%, but when you pull out the public relations to look at it, most of all the growth is public relations employment. Publishing employment is down. Newspaper employment is down. We've also seen decreases in the number of management positions in printing companies because of the consolidation. But the number of people involved in production has not been declining at as deep a rate as it was before. So that's you see a lot of that happening.
And they can find that information in the July webinar.
That's in the July webinar, and the new employment report comes out Friday, and I'll probably blog about it sometime the middle of next week. So we get that data every month. The employment data is really critical for the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the Commerce Department because they base most all of their economic modeling off the employment data, which is the freshest data they get. Again, a lot of it from the Social Security reports. So the report's not important just from, unemployment is 6% or whatever than that. All the stuff that goes in there is used for all kinds of things. I've used it to forecast, do industry forecasting. It's generally good data.
Yeah. Am I allowed to ask a question?
Sure.
Okay. One of the things I hear talking to folks in the printing industry is, as they're struggling to figure out where to take the business, is staffing. What kind of people, do I need? Where do I get those people? How do I attract them to my business? Do you have any insight into that?
Yeah, because I hear a lot of complaints about that from the printers, that they are competing with the agencies and the graphic designers for those same people, and their organizations do not appear to be as attractive as it is in those situations. That is a real challenge for our business. I'm glad we're past the situation where somebody complains about they can't find an offset duplicator operator and the schools are terrible because they're not producing somebody who can run an ABDIC 360. Now more and more of the workers are coming from the computer side of the schools and also from the design schools. But you do have to pay them good money. I mean, because the growth on the other side is so strong that they are finding employment, and if they don't find employment, they are doing well as freelancers. So my advice to the printers has been, this is one of the situations where you look for an alliance, where you find a couple of people who you know you can depend on regularly, who might be willing to sell you a day or two of time consistently every week, rather than trying to hire them full time, because you may not be able to afford to hire them on that basis. That's going to be a serious problem. I've wondered if some of the mergers of some printing companies has been because they really have trouble replacing their staff and changing the nature of the skills of their staff, so they often will merge to fix that.
One company here in the Chicago area, Takei's, is out in France, they actually started up another business in the Loop area here in Chicago. I think they've got a dozen programmers and IT people, so they can track them in this location where they wouldn't want to commute to the suburbs. But that's another option if you get
right. A few years ago, I was getting comments from printers who were getting more and more active in digital printing, and they said that we didn't know that to make our digital printing system work, we would have to hire programmers. Companies would have like five programmers on staff.
Okay.
just working on getting the digital printing workflow going, especially if it involved lots of personalization, and they felt that that gave them an advantage over their competitors, that they had people who actually, you know, knew the guts of the system and could dig into it that way.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Yeah. It's more of a comment. The question that was asked just a few minutes ago about runlands and changing landscape, and we did a recent benchmark. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but the benchmark is really the state of the industry. And it talks about how we looked at jobs by order value. And so some of the largest order value jobs remained about the same over the 4-year period. But there was a shift from the middle to the smaller jobs. And so there's many other interesting statistics in that benchmark. So I invite you guys to take a look at it. It looks at all aspects of print. So just a comment.
Is that online for everyone to get? Because I know, Carrie, you sent me a note about it.
I had a meeting with Ofer recently out in Silicon Valley, and it is on your site. You can download it from the noosh.com, N-O-O-S-H. It's very, very interesting. And for those of you not familiar with Noosh, they do online procurement. So they've got years of data. You go back to 99, I think.
Yeah, and this one was based on about $15 billion worth of spend.
Yeah, so $15 billion worth of spend analyzed and broken out, sliced and diced in a lot of different ways. And I think Joe's going to take a look at that data.
Yes, I will.
Yep.
All right.
Yes. Thank you very much for that. That was
All right. Thank you, everyone. The books are all around the show. Please make sure that you have one. If when you come for the book signing, you know that there's somebody back at the office or who might benefit from having a copy, please feel free to ask us to sign one for you. I will say yes. Richard will turn you down. So go to me first, right? No, if there are copies left, we would be very, very happy to do that. That happens all the time. So I'm very, very pleased that we're doing the show, and I want to thank Veritiv again for helping us out. Let's give them a hand. Okay, go forward.